Great. Thank you. Welcome to all of you. Thank you so much for being here. This is the City Council study meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, December 5th, 2023. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I serve as mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding City Council seated next to me. Thank you all for being here. And I would be remiss if I did not note that today is Mr. Marler's last work meeting and last council meeting with us on the council.
The finale.
Yes. Woo-hoo! Yeah. So, Brad, we're going to embarrass you to death in our next meeting. But
okay, well,
please know
that,
that we love you and we're grateful for you.
Thank you, ma'am.
So we also want to extend a special welcome to Kathy Johnson, who is here with us tonight. And we will be certifying the results of the election here in about an hour or whatever time, you know, coming up pretty soon. Which will make it official that Kathy will be the new council member for District 2 starting in January. So we welcome you and appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you to our staff, all of you who are here. Thank you. We wrap up another calendar year. Thank you to all of you for everything that you do and have done to keep our city moving forward and strong and make us look good and all the good work you do. We appreciate all of you. Thank you for being here with us. Okay, we are going to open tonight's meeting with an invocation by Councilmember Tamara Gander.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this evening to gather peacefully here at City Hall. We're grateful for the blessings of good health and the blessing of peace of mind and safety that we feel as we gather this evening. We're grateful for the freedoms we enjoy, and we thank thee for them. Help us to always remember how very blessed we are to be able to gather and represent the residents of our city and for the confidence they have in us, and help us to always remember and be humble with the opportunities we have to serve and work on behalf of the residents of South Jordan City. We're grateful for the staff, for the incredible work they do, and help us all to remember how important the work is that we keep our cities safe and moving forward. Please bless our first responders, the police and the fire, that they will be watched over and protected. And we pray for those in our city that are less fortunate that might be struggling at this time, specifically the homeless or anyone that is without, that we can be mindful of them and be cognizant of them and reach out and serve them. Be with us this evening with thy spirit that we can have peaceful, engaging, and arrive at wise decisions. We pray for this food that we're eating and that it will be blessed to nourish our bodies. Again, we thank thee for these healthy bodies we've been given and that we can use them to do good in the world. And we pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, coordination. It is the last month of the year. It's also the month before the legislative session starts, so we're going to enjoy the relative calm before the storm, right? Before things just get busy again with the session, but does anyone have anything specific to coordinate coming up before we meet again on January 2nd?
Mayor, I had a call from someone that you met with kind of last week or so that I wanted to bring up at an appropriate time. You tell me when, from Denise Allen. Regarding the Holt Farm,
okay,
you remember that one?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know when you want me to bring it up. If it's
now's a good time.
Here,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just got a call from her about an hour ago, and she actually is a good friend of my wife, who are both piano instructors, and her family is the one who essentially donated the Holt Farm. Farmhouse, what do they call it? Farm?
Yeah, Aunt Mame's house.
Aunt Mame's. And just some concern there. I know that she's met with you, and I know she's going to be meeting with Don Tingey coming up here Thursday, as I recall her saying. We've tried to figure out, you know, methodologies to finish the house, and I know it's very expensive and things. That was actually an action that, believe it or not, all the things that I keep bringing up from my past, that I was involved in back in 2006 and 2007. And the city basically made a commitment to the Holts that we would finish that house, and I know we've talked about over the years, we still have any money to do that. My suggestion is, I think we have an agreement with them, and we need to figure out how to meet that agreement. There's a reversionary clause in it. If we're not going to do it, then, you know, I guess the property could go back to them. And I don't know all of the ins and outs of that. I'm not quoting the agreement, but I just think there's some things that we can do from the standpoint of grants, maybe getting the Miller Group involved, something that we can do to begin that process. And maybe it's a step at a time, but I would love to see, us fulfill our, you know, agreement obligation to getting that done in one form or another, whatever that means, however we can do it, even if it's baby steps at a time, coming up with some kind of allocation, maybe from the budget a year at a time, and then and looking into a little bit further grants and some donations, maybe by the Miller Group, as I mentioned, and so on. I would love to see us fulfill that commitment that we've made to the Holes. So
that's my, great. Thank you. We had a great meeting. Don was there. Don Tingey came in here with her, and were you were there.
I
was there.
Just Don.
Okay.
And Russ.
Yes, that's right. And what they're proposing is having their family start a 501c3 nonprofit, and having Denise, her life circumstances are as such now that she said she's got time to devote a great deal of time to it, and would like to head up this 501c3 to raise funds to get it done. The family wants to start a fundraising effort to
some of that baby step. I'm not suggesting that we're just flush with cash, so don't get me wrong at all. I told her
we have no money.
She did. She did, and I told her the same thing. I just said we're not flush with cash for sure. But, you know, we need to see what we can do to fulfill that obligation, that commitment. And even if it's just baby step at a time, I would suggest to you, as one of my parting suggestions, shall we say, that we somehow figure out how to make that obligation whole, that commitment whole. And even if it's kind of minimal, one floor at a time, whatever it is, let's see if we can make that happen. And Don, you're involved in it, so thanks. Thanks very much for your involvement there. Thanks, Mary.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Anybody else have anything you want to coordinate right now? No? Do you have anything for this portion? Can you bring up? Not till later? Something? I just want to make sure you have opportunity if you need it right now. Okay. Thank you. Our regular council meeting, the agenda is a Christmas present to everyone. It's fantastic. So we're going to embarrass Brad for a little bit and recognize him and thank him for his years of service. We have a resolution every January. Is it every January? However often it is. It's every 4 years, right?
Every 4 years.
Yeah. In January, we are required to recertify our justice court. And so that's what that is. And if you have any additional questions about that, we can talk about that. Ryan's had a couple of phone calls. A few people have reached out and kind of asked him questions about that. But right now, we are required to recertify. That's just the rule. So we just have to recertify the court so they can keep functioning. And then we'll still work to determine what the future of that looks like.
Okay. So we're still.
Yeah.
It's like paying your car registration every year with the chance that you might not have that car in the middle of the year.
Yeah. And then we are going, okay, I'm going to make a request as a Christmas gift to Mr. Luce. He doesn't know I'm going to say this. But we all give him a lot of grief over all of the trainings that we have to do, right? The ethics training.
You looked at me.
Well, I kind of did look at you, but I that was just, you know, it's just coincidental that I looked at you. You happened to look at me. I think that was your conscience.
That's
right. Anyway. We are required to do these trainings every year, which we always do, and Mr. Luce does a great job with them. And so we're going to do our training tonight, so it will be accomplished because we have such a light agenda. We're going to do our Open and Public Meetings Act training, land use ethics hotline, and social media training.
And you've already done land use. We'll touch on that.
And it sounds longer than it is. So it the good news is we've all been here for a long time. And we may have some new questions, you know, and the information may seem a bit redundant, but it's always important. They're always important reminders. And we are legally required to do it, and we always do it, and I appreciate Mr. Luce for preparing that for tonight.
And if I could make your holiday even better then.
I'm a big fan of that.
If you would entertain a motion to amend your agenda tonight, we believe that Ryan and I can make our presentations so short for the rest of this meeting that we could actually get that training done during the work session, be able to take it off the regular agenda and go home even earlier.
Fabulous.
Wow.
So if you'd like to amend your agenda to do the training at the end of the work session,
yeah,
and then take it off that, we can make it.
Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion to amend this agenda to take the Open Public Meetings Act, all the training that we have, and move it to the end of this agenda in this meeting and take it off the regular meeting agenda? Anyone like to make that motion?
You'll have to make the separate motion in the other meeting.
Right. Right, yeah.
So moved, Mayor, as you've stated.
I'll second that.
Just making my notes. Anna always takes good care of this. I'm just a backup. I just, you know, we got two people taking official care of it. I just have a backup.
And
so I know how to run
a
meeting.
The other agenda in the
right. All right, we have a motion to amend the agenda to move all of our training for this evening to the end of this meeting and take it off of the agenda for the regular council meeting, which we will do in the regular council meeting. Any discussion to that? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Check, that's fantastic. Okay, thank you. Okay, I need to ask for a motion to recess this City Council study meeting and move us into executive closed session for the discussion of the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property. Can I get that motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Merler. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Please.
All right, Mayor and Council, we have a video for you to watch. Go ahead.
Feel free to speak along with it if you want. You have it memorized.
No, the auditor.
Right,
the
auditor.
Meetings are
state
law ensures government action.
10 seconds. We got this.
Before we continue, keep in mind that this video is an overview and exceptions may exist based on your entity type. We focus on local government, not state requirements. When in doubt, read the law and consult with your legal counsel. So what's considered an open and public meeting? It's when a public body quorum, also known as a simple majority, meets to discuss or act upon government business. It includes the meetings sometimes referred to as workshops or executive sessions. Regular meetings, public hearings, electronic meetings, and emergency meetings are all open and public meetings. Open and public meetings don't include chance or social meetings. A public hearing is a type of open and public meeting where citizens have a reasonable opportunity to speak. Public hearings happen when a government adopts a budget, imposes or increases taxes or fees, or transfers money from an enterprise fund. These meetings have extra notice and posting requirements and won't be addressed in this video. An electronic meeting is a type of open and public meeting that's convened electronically, such as via phone or the internet. Remember, the governing body must adopt a resolution, rule, or
your
ordinance
kids don't
allowing
know that that's
phone.
Actually, my son wants an old phone.
Public adds additional requirements, too. An emergency meeting may be held to discuss an urgent matter due to unforeseen circumstances. In order to hold the meeting, the best notice that's feasible is provided of the time, location, and topics to be considered. An attempt is made to contact all governing body members, and the governing body
majority approves
the
meeting. I saw this part. I thought, I hope no more houses
An open and public
explode.
Meeting may be
closed that was our emergency
to discuss
meeting.
Following. A person's character, competence, or health,
goes to the bathroom
collective
and
bargaining, litigation.
I blocked that one out.
Real property transactions, including any form of a water right or water shares, with specific restrictions. Security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, investigations of criminal misconduct, and private or protected information per the Utah Procurement Code, including trade secrets. A closed meeting may be held only if a quorum is present and the meeting was properly noticed. 2/3 of the governing body present at the meeting need to vote yes to close a meeting. Quick math lesson. 2 divided by 3 equals 66.7%. Let's say your governing body has 5 members present at the meeting. If 3 out of 5 members vote yes, that equals 60%, which is not equal or greater than 66.7%, which means you're 1 member short and would need 4 out of 5 members to vote yes. During a closed meeting, a governing body can't,
interview someone applying to fill an elected position.
That's a South Georgia
discuss
role,
filling
by the way.
A midterm vacancy or temporary absence.
Mayor Osborne's appointment.
Discuss the character, competence, or health of a person whose name was submitted for consideration to fill a midterm vacancy or temporary absence.
This one, the midterm
any ordinance,
vacancy.
Resolution, rule, regulation, contract, or appointment. Or take a vote, unless it's a vote on a motion to end the closed portion of the meeting and return to an open meeting. When a governing body closes a meeting, the following must be publicly announced and entered into the minutes of the open meeting at which the closed meeting was approved.
Notice it doesn't say you can't give a direction.
Holding the closed meeting, the location where the closed meeting will be held, and the vote of each member of the governing body, either for or against the motion to close the meeting. If a closed meeting is discussing a person's character, competence, or health, or security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, or several other exceptions, mostly related to state bodies or project entities, no recording or minutes are required. However, the presiding member needs to sign a sworn written statement stating such. If the closed meeting is held for any other reason, a recording must be made, which includes date, time, and place of the meeting, names of members present and absent, and names of all others, except where disclosure would infringe on the confidentiality necessary to fulfill the original purpose of closing the meeting. Regular
so
open
there's
and
the
public
affidavit,
meetings require
but we're now
24
all
hours
notice. With the mayor.
The public notice includes
that's
the
your
meeting,
rule.
Agenda, date, time, and place. Public meeting agendas need to include reasonably specified topics to be considered, with each topic listed under a separate agenda item on the meeting agenda.
Is that Xander?
The governing body may not consider a topic in an open meeting that wasn't on the agenda.
If
a new topic not on the agenda is raised by the public during an open meeting, the governing body may discuss the topic. However, final action may not be taken on the new topic during that meeting. Additionally, entities holding regular meetings scheduled in advance over the course of the year need to provide annual notice of the entire year's
meeting. You'll be getting that out in the next.
The notice must include date, time, and place for each meeting.
Notice is posted on the public body's website, in a public location such as the location where the meeting will be held, and on Utah's public notice website in accordance with Utah Code 63G-30-102.
This is where the attorney got
typically,
in.
Posting on the public notice website is done by the records officer, recorder, or clerk. However, it's the governing body's responsibility to ensure notice is provided.
The records officer is
State Archives has prepared a training manual and quick guide for owners and posters, as well as training videos that can be accessed at their website, archives.utah.gov. Written minutes and a recording are kept of all open meetings, with few exceptions.
You like how the headphones
written
had a cord?
Minutes include the date, time, and place of the meeting, the names of members present,
the keys
and
coming into the
substance
side
of all
line,
matters, names of citizens providing comments, the substance of the comments provided, any information a body member requests be entered into the minutes or recording, and a record by individual member of each vote taken. A body with elected members must record each vote in list format by category for each action taken by a member, including yes votes, no votes, and absent members next to each member's name. The recording must be a complete and unedited
Pam and John.
Of all open right. portions of the meeting from right, beginning
yeah.
to end,
yeah.
and be
yeah.
labeled with the meeting date, time, yeah. and place. All or any part of an open meeting may be independently recorded by any person in attendance if the recording does not interfere with the conduct of the meeting. Pending minutes means written minutes of an open meeting in draft form subject to change before being approved by the public body that held the open meeting. Pending minutes must contain a clear indication, such as a draft or pending watermark.
What do we put
that
on our
body has
unapproved.
Approved the minutes,
unapproved.
And that the minutes are subject to change until the public body approves.
Every time he says the word change, they
approved
put up
minutes
money.
Means written yeah. minutes of an open meeting approved by the public body yeah. that held the open meeting. Entities must establish and implement procedures for the public body's approval of written minutes. Public meeting pending minutes, approved minutes, and recordings are public records under Grandma. Any individual who publicly presents information relating to an item on the public body's meeting agenda must provide a copy of this
teacher.
On the public record. Make pending minutes available to the public within 30 days. Within 3 business days after approving written minutes of an open meeting, make approved minutes and any public materials available at the Utah Public Notice website, the entity's primary office, and the entity's website. Within 3 business days after holding an open meeting, make an audio recording of the open meeting available to the public for listening.
You are all done. Now, they had 5 questions for me. I will ask you 1 or 2 of them. One of the questions I thought was kind of fun was, what if you all happen to go to the same like worship service? Do you have to notice it in any way?
No.
No, it'd be a chance meeting. Even if it's a regular occurrence, it's a chance meeting. And I thought that was a pretty good question because that's a regular occurrence that you could know and kind of script. Or it might give someone a reason not to go to a worship service.
Everybody else is going to be there. I can't go.
Yeah. So what if...
I'll beta test that.
But even you will. The only other question, what if someone's sending the audience holding their phone recording you? Is that okay?
It is, yes. Okay. Yep.
It's annoying, but it's okay.
Unless they become disruptive or are blocking other people and they won't move, something
so like that. So it said an audible, but can they video as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They can record it in any way.
Because we've had people do that
before. We have had people do that.
Yeah. Totally. And it's totally, you guys have handled it great. So that is, you're open in public. Let's go ethics. I'm not going to watch you or make you watch their ethics. I did. It made that one look like an Emmy-winning production.
There we go.
Wow.
Charity put this together for me, and she chose the color. So
I love it. Tell her I love
clearly
it.
Clearly, she is trying to get on.
Trying to get a Christmas bonus.
Clearly, she has good taste.
Every time. It's always pretty.
Well,
it's not
they
ethical.
Like me better.
What
than
is ethical is me getting done quicker than Dustin did all of his part with both of my
arms. Ooh. Ooh.
All right.
Shots fired.
You do not know the grief I've taken from some of those people talking to you. Okay, you know what we're supposed to do.
But you'll experience it the next 4 years.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're already.
She's put up with me for many a year.
I forget your own.
She probably has PTSD. So what do we do ethics for? We establish our standards of conduct. You guys all know you have your own ethics code that you've adopted that is subject or just to you guys, and you guys hold yourselves accountable to it. So if there's something going on that may violate that, and you ask me, what I'll say is, then you sanction, you police each other. We don't. Unless you break the law, we're not, and then someone else is going to get involved, the AG's office or somebody. It's not staff's job to police our bosses, the council. That's your each other's job, and you hold each other to those standards. And who's looked at in the last little bit, maybe a year or two, the City Council Code of Ethics?
You showed it to us last time we did this.
Yeah.
I will show it to us about this.
Yeah. So it was last year. I will re-email that out.
Send it.
Do you want to send it to him? Well, it's a good thing just to have it, and will you
include
council member elect? It really hasn't changed much since you were on it. The one thing.
Changed in 2018.
Yeah, but the only significant change was that before the council decided they wouldn't individually talk with developers, that it always had to be the council as a whole. That changed in 2018, and the council gave themselves, because there's no legal prohibition on it, the ability to individually talk with developers. So, all right. So as we keep moving through this, assuming this work. You guys all know the gift limit, $50. Now, there are public awards that are different. So remember that if one of you gets a public award. Didn't Mayor Staggs get a major award recently?
That was not worth more than $50.
Okay, that's what I didn't know, but it was a very public award.
This has come to
Christmas awards.
This has been a problem for me from a business standpoint. I get tickets regularly to jazz games and all of those things. I have had to decline for the last 8 years. I can't wait to go to the next jazz
game.
Right,
you're going to be right down on the front. Right.
So,
I love that because we can't do that.
And so I can tell you as staff, there's many law firms I work with and stuff that have bought in, and we just politely decline.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought, tickets are a big thing.
Yeah, you got to be careful because even though it may be one of my business clients, I'm still an elected official. I can't receive that jazz ticket because they're all over $50.
Is that true?
So just be careful with that one.
So the thing is if that client has anything could remotely be related to your work, you'd want to be very careful and disclose everything and stuff.
The only thing that's slightly different about that I just want to point out is like, because Sandy City owns the stadium in Sandy, mm-hmm. if the mayor of Sandy has company or guests over and invites, like she's invited the other mayors before to the soccer game as guests of Sandy City because they own it. And I wasn't able to go, but I think twice she's invited other mayors to be there as a guest of Sandy City at a place that they already own.
Yeah.
In there, so that is okay.
That's a carve out.
Also, political contributions, those aren't gifts, but they have to be funneled through your political account. You guys know more about that than I do. Just do your accounting right. No one ever wants the auditor on them for that sort of stuff. All right, conflicts. Charity set this up so we could ask the question and answer. We're just going to hurry and go through it. So disclose your protected or private and protective information. Don't disclose stuff you learn as closed meeting and other things for your personal benefit. Just don't do it, please. If you have a conflict, several of you have called me. That always stays just between us and we talk through it. And I think we get you guys to a good, safe place. You can work with people who do business with the city and stuff. You have to disclose everything. Again, disclosure, personal investments, disclosure, use or attempt to use your official position to make your life better. Don't do that. And outside employment, just let's talk if you get into those places. I don't know why she put handcuffs there. I really like it. Excellent work, Charity. But most of the time, unless you're doing something, you know, Chicago style of politics, and yes, I'll say that on a public record, having read about a few of their politicians. In Utah, you see people basically sanctioned and publicly embarrassed and stuff. Nepotism. So the state has a statute. It's right up there. Ours is a little more strict. It used to be way more strict. We just didn't hire anybody. We recently changed that in the last 2 months or so.
Really?
And for certain, in the majority of departments, they won't hire in the same department, but if you're in public works, you might be able to get hired, or your relative might be able to get hired in police. There's a few, like HR, the manager's office, attorney's office, that we won't hire.
Have a really detailed flow chart that determines if you can or can't.
If he starts talking about it, it'll take more time, though. Just kidding.
Oh, I was going to pull it.
He pulls it into family search.
It basically does. I actually gave him grief about it.
Years ago, a friend of mine applied for the firefighters, and he was denied the opportunity because he had an uncle that was in public works.
Now he could get that.
I think that was a good move.
Yes.
That's
I know exactly who you're talking about, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we missed out on this.
Nobody related to me can work in any department in the city.
And same with
me. But I think it's us,
that
makes
sense.
If none of our relatives can work for the city, we change that? Because remember, my 16-year-old niece was not allowed to work at the rec center when they said, do you know anyone who works here?
We
she
could
said,
change
well,
that.
The mayor. And they're like, you're out.
Would you like us to change that and allow your family members?
No, I'm fine with it. I just want clarification.
We could.
That change.
It didn't change.
No, we didn't. We didn't change that, but that's up to you.
Nobody that's related to an elected official can work for the city.
Right. Well, define related. Within this level of consanguinity, no.
Well, I think we should at least talk about it, just because it's really hard to find employees right now, and to turn away good people, you know, that's something we have to pay a little bit of attention to.
That was one of the reasons for the justification that I used mm-hmm. to make the changes to the policy.
Mm-hmm.
And a good example of that was for crossing guards. You know, it's really hard to find crossing guards, but we would have retired husband and wife that would be very interested for 2 hours a day, and that would cover that crossing,
mm-hmm.
and the old policy prohibited that. The change to the new policy allowed a husband and wife to be crossing guards together, and it allowed me to hire some people. I couldn't. There's some mother-daughter combinations.
We have revamped all that. The only question is if you would like us to. I think staff, we're all in a great place. If you would like us to re-examine, or if you want your relatives the possibility to get hired, just
I don't
let
see
us
why
know.
Not. I mean, I don't want to find families looking for a job, but I mean, just in general.
Well,
I mean, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if one of our kids wanted to work at Mulligan's as a ball person, yeah. I don't
just understand. My daughter's best friend works at Mulligan's, and she keeps telling Hallie, come and work with me, come and work with me. And Hallie's like, yeah, I'm not allowed to.
I will just say this. Understand the position you put us into if we have to let
yep,
them go.
If we
true.
Have to do
if
this.
Your kids
and I'm sorry, everybody at Mulligan's has been on that fence because they drive those carts into lakes, into walls. I mean,
yeah.
Mulligan's
maybe
is
not
our worst example.
Okay.
We don't want to have to do that. That's why we did.
I'm happy
but
to walk you through the process.
Yeah, he pulled up his phone. He's
okay.
So proud.
I think
of it.
That's fine.
If you want to revisit, think about it. We certainly can. Social media. So I had her stick in this slide only because last week, they are 2 weeks ago now, October 31st, they argued the two cases. One's a city manager. And one is a school board member. Both of them were using their personal Facebook pages. They started getting negative comments, and they muted somebody. And that person they muted or took their comments down sued them. And now they're at the Supreme Court. Your average case there is at least $1.5 million to $2 million. That's each side. That's not both. This is each side. And so this June, we should be getting a lot more guidance from the court. So understand, we have always taken a conservative approach. Mayor Alvord was extremely active on social media. And even with him, we took a conservative approach about staff and the city getting involved in your guys' personal pages. Someday, you as a council may decide to have city pages. That's a program that through priority-based budgeting, we could implement. You could have it and fund it and find the personnel. That's a conversation that during the budgeting you should have if that's what you want. But we're very cautious, and it comes from my office, and we just didn't want to be one of these two cases. And luckily we're not. It's other people. City manager was posting a lot on COVID and their opinion on masking and stuff.
So just to clarify, a city manager was posting on their personal page.
Yeah. City
was not a city page, it was a personal page.
But about the,
but
the
about
city's
city.
Position.
And that's when they took him to court, is because on his personal page.
Well,
was,
and then he had a detractor who was saying,
right,
you're
right.
up in the night and
but
stuff, and he
the
muted that
page.
Detractor.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're saying what we put on our personal page, if it has anything to do with the city, puts us in a compromised position?
Potentially. It can. I don't think we'd be at the same risk of these guys because we've always kept a much brighter line. I listened to the total oral arguments. I haven't read all the briefing yet, but I intend to because a lot of it has to do, like in the O'Connor case, the attorney for the against O'Connor or against O'Connor. Right? Anyway, the attorney for a school board member against the school board member pointed out how often the school board member posted almost always about the school board and never about other stuff and didn't have a school board page, but they'd have an election page. And the school board member meshed everything and was having the school board send her stuff to put on the page, and the district was involved in it.
Mm.
The more you cross those lines, the more you've made it the city's page. Meaning, and it doesn't mean you can't have it. It means if you mute somebody, you're likely stepping on, well, that's what they're deciding, whether or not you're stepping on their constitutional rights to
so
the public.
So both these people
forum.
Muted someone, and that
yes.
someone is now
or many
taken.
Someones.
Got
yes.
it. Got it.
O'Connor muted a lot of people. The city manager had one particular detractor, and that detractor has run it all the way to Supreme Court. So.
So like if I share the city's Summerfest video on my personal social media,
sure.
and then somebody comments or 10 people comment, we hate Summerfest, you know, whatever. And I'm like, well, I don't want that showing up, and I mute it. Then I run the risk of being in trouble.
Yeah.
But it's less the way we do it because she's sharing our page. And on our page, and this would be my argument, she can mute it. That's her personal thing. Just like someone who's not the mayor could put it up there and mute other comments.
Right.
Because if someone wants the public to see their comments about South Jordan Summerfest, go to the city's page and comment all you want there. We only take down obscenities, vulgarity, stuff like that. That's the only, you can criticize us all you want on the city's page. So when you repost our thing, as long as we keep it, we're probably in a good spot.
So question, so if someone on this council posts something on their personal page and then they get sued, okay, are we going to have, you know, is the city going to pay for the defense costs or are they on their own you know, potentially, or there are situations where they might be on their own, where they're going to have to go and get their own attorney.
There are situations they could be on their own.
And so that's a risk that everyone has here when you post stuff on there, is that you might be going in racking up $100,000 of attorney fees to, you know.
In most cases.
They just went through education, like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
In most cases, the city would probably cover it, but we'd have to have that discussion, and you as a council, depending on if it was on the edge, would have to decide.
Yep, the council might say, you know what, we're not going to use taxpayer dollars to do that. That particular council member, you know, went across the line, and they're on their own.
That's why I put it in there. Yeah. This isn't fall square in ethics, but it's on that line of when are you in your personal, when are you in your campaign, and when are you in your office?
Yeah.
And those hats and those mantles of office or your personal life, they all get kind of pushed together. The more you can separate them, there's a reason we jokingly carry two phones or joke about carrying two phones. You don't want all my personal life on your city phone. I guarantee you there's stuff on there I don't want on my personal phone. I don't want to mesh those. Now, is it illegal to mesh them? No. But when I do, I start to run into more conflicts and more problems that I have to sort out. So you have my social media. Reporting, you guys all know we've talked a lot about our fraud reporting hotline, anonymous. We have phone, we have internet. You remember we did that not long ago. There's the city thing. Along with that is just what Dustin brought up, new council members. So council member Zander, Harris, council member elect. We need you, and we'll send you the link to do your annual new term fraud hotline reporting thing. And Dustin
and
says
that. We have to do that for the auditor. We have to do it. Like, we answer to that.
Yeah, you'll do it. You'll do it.
We'll lose points in our audit if we don't.
Right, we do.
Yeah. And maybe there'll be a gift basket. I don't know. There always points. We're done.
Because you did it.
Oh, I did. We have to do
that. That was so good. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Do we need to sign anything, or is it?
You were all here. We have it in minutes. Anna and I will get you a certificate. So I printed mine from doing the online one and answering the questions. So we'll get you something that looks somewhat like this. You did the training.
Do I get a plaque?
If you'd like a plaque, we can get you a plaque.
Can I have all of those printed for my plaque?
Yeah.
Right.
So we can technically forward these to the committees, Ron.
Yeah.
That'll meet those needs as well.
Yeah, if you're on the sewer district or mosquito abatement, they're going to say they're going to take the first part.
That states what we just completed so we can forward it to our boards.
Yes. Well, we'll do is give you a certificate.
We'll create something.
We'll just,
but I want electronic.
Yeah, we'll attach it and send it. So you know this is for 2023. We'll be doing it again in March. and we'll keep it as short and succinct, but we'll cover it again.
And just a note too on Ryan's, for the conflict of interest forms, those will be sent through Adobe Sign from myself to you guys end of this week, beginning of next. So watch for those, but we have to do those annually too.
And in an effort not to rain on Brad's parade, I'm done.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for making sure that we are compliant and that we get all of our things done when we need to. They're important, you know. And we might have seen the video 100 times, but it's still important. It's important information we all need. It's good.
That was so efficient.
It's good. So thank you. Okay, I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
That was very quick. Okay.
Moving along.
Yeah. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. This meeting is adjourned.